Our gracious God and Father, by your grace, we do not live for ourselves. We do not proclaim for ourselves, for our glory, but we join together to hear what you would have us to hear your voice, your word, your truth, and live according to your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Seeing as it's Father's Day, I want to express my appreciation for my father, who's been gone to be with the Lord for a number of years now. And I also want to tell a tale on myself, the extent of my teenage rebellion. Didn't last very long, you'll be thankful to know. I can't remember exactly what age I was, probably about 13 or 14, something like that. And my father was insisting that I go to Sunday school. And since my two older brothers did not go to Sunday school, and my father did not go to Sunday school at the time, I declared to him that I was an atheist, and therefore, that was why I should not have to go to Sunday school. An atheist, of course, is somebody who does not believe that there is a God, or is God. And sometimes when you say something, it takes on a life of its own, doesn't it? Now, it's not, once you take a position on something, you sometimes have to defend that position, don't you? Those of you that are married will know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, I wasn't so much an atheist as I was angry at my father because I didn't want to do something, and so I had to justify why I didn't go to church. Now, I'm not really very rebellious, as you already know, and my atheism didn't last for too very long, because once I got over my anger, which I usually do in fairly good order, then so my atheism went out the door. But by God's grace, and no, after that, shortly after that, I didn't go to Sunday school, but God, by his grace, was faithful, and I started going to Sunday school again and walked with the Lord. Thank the Lord. I wasn't a committed atheist, as I say. However, even though I was an atheist for a few weeks, I still use that to good effect for conversation, I want you to know. So sometimes when I'm talking to somebody, I will say, at one point in my life, I was an atheist. Now, don't laugh too much, because there are a lot of people who decide to be atheists for their life at that age, from that age. And I know that if I were of a different disposition, I could still be an atheist to this day. So as I say, sometimes when we say something, it takes on a life of its own, and at the time, I was living as an atheist because I was in rebellion against God and against my father. However, as I say, the point of this is not to focus on that, but the point is to focus upon the fact that, as I say, I do sometimes use this a little bit as a point of conversation with people, that there are people who are interested to hear it. A year ago, I was talking to a young fellow, and he was going off to Queen's University to start his doctorate in philosophy. And I happened to mention at one point in my life, I was an atheist, but I had been a Christian minister for many years. And that struck up quite a conversation, very briefly. Now, unfortunately, it couldn't be long. There were a lot of people around, and he was leaving, and I didn't have opportunity to really respond. But I've spent the last year thinking about the answer to his question. His question was, why did you change? Now, instead of simply saying, because Jesus saved me, which I know would not communicate with him, because I don't believe he had any kind of a Christian or a church background, I wanted to be able to speak to him in a way, in terms that he would understand. And I want to share with you part of the answer that I've come up with. Maybe there's holes that can be poked in it, but I share it with you anyway. My answer is this: to live life as an atheist, to deny the existence of God, is to live life in two dimensions. Now let me see if I can explain it right, if I understand. The first dimension is essentially a point. A second dimension, there can be height and width, but there is no depth. It's flat. It's like the picture of the animals, the elephants on and giraffes on the back of and on the wall hanging right behind Marg. It's flat. It's a picture, but there is no depth to it. In the schools, you might hear your grandchildren or your children might speak about Flat Stanley, a cutout picture of a man. And since the children can't travel around the world, he'll arrive at a school and the children will tell Flat Stanley, write up a story to Flat Stanley about their life and where they live, and then they will mail Flat Stanley on to another school somewhere in a different country, a different continent, and so the Flat Stanley keeps traveling around the world. Well, life without God is living like Flat Stanley. You might have height, you might have width, but no depth, just flat. Suppose we live in a world where we're all just two dimensions, like Flat Stanley, and all of a sudden, somebody comes in three dimensions, or comes from a world of three dimensions, and says, I have come from another world. I am going to show you a better way. I am going to show you a better life than just two dimensions. And he came in two dimensions. He appeared in two dimensions. Height and width, but no depth. What would the reaction of the people be there? There would be a whole lot of people who would go, bunk. What are you talking about? There is no such world, a three-dimensional world. Why, you're two dimensions. How can you talk like that? You're crazy. And that's, I think, a picture of Jesus coming to the earth, that he has come from the Father, came as a human being, and we're confronted with a choice, confronted with something. We can either say yes or we can say no. Jesus came and he said, I have come to set you free. I have come from the Father. No one can see the Father, but I have come from the Father in order to reveal his will. I have come in order to reveal life to you. I have come in order to reveal to you life that is eternal, life that will last forever. And there is the choice that is before us. We can say bunk or we can say yes. Jesus came from another world, came from the Father. I won't say another world because I don't want you to think I'm just trying to be so weird and new agey and everything like that. But, you know, Jesus came from the Father and he said, I'm going to show you life. And he said, this is how it works. If you really want to know how eternal life works, I will show you. I will demonstrate it to you. I will demonstrate it because he said, number one, you have fallen because of your sin. You have said to God the Father, no. But he said, I have come in order to reconcile you to the Father. And this is what life is like. He says, number one, my Father is at work every day to this very day, and I am working too. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Jesus is revealing it. But it's more than just what the Father is doing, revealing it. It shows the oneness of the Father and of the Son. Each are separate, but they are so united in love and in purpose that their will, the will of the Son, is to do the will of the Father. Right. To do the will of the Father without question. On this Father's Day, perfect would be the Son, that the dad said, Son, I want you to do this. And the son always 100% of the time said, yes, dad, I'd love to do that. Any men here who ever did that? Probably not. There was one who did it, and his name was Jesus. Right. Because when the father said, Son, I want you to do something, he said, yes. And because he came from the Father, he was not overawed by things that awe us so much. He was not afraid of people. He was not afraid to maintain his own reputation. He was not overawed by money. He was not overawed by power. Because his will was the same as the Father. He saw what the Father was doing, and he said, yes, I will do it. The Son sees what the Father is doing, and he does it. And he went on beyond that. And he says, the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Because Jesus is doing the will of the Father, the Father trusted the Son implicitly with his work. Now, if fathers, if you ever sent your son out and said, I have a task for you to do, and I trust your judgment because you know my heart and you know my will. Again, there's probably not a lot of fathers who did that, because then when the son came back, the father would doubtless be saying, so, how'd it go? Because there was just that element of accountability, just want to make sure that everything just went perfectly. But Jesus did the will of the Father perfectly, because he knew the will of the Father, and because of his love for the Father, and because he was not separated from the Father by sin and by death and by rebellion, the Father could trust the Son 110%. Jesus said, I see the will of the Father and I do it. And the Father trusts me 110%. That's the relationship between the Father and the Son. And he says this is the will of the Father. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And that's the will of the Father, is that the Son, who came from glory, who sees the Father, even though none of us here have ever seen God the Father, Jesus came from God the Father and revealed God the Father, reveals God the Father, and says to us, will you trust me for eternal life? Will you trust me in your life? You see, Jesus came to set us free from sin, to open the gates of heaven, to open up life with the Father, just as Jesus trusted the Father for eternal life, for life, to raise him from the dead. So he says, as you trust me, as you believe me, I will set you free. That's the promise that Jesus gives to us, is to say to us, will you trust me? By my life, I have done what the Father says. It doesn't matter what people say. The religious leaders at the time said, he's a fraud, he's a fake. We know where he's from. His father, Joseph, is a carpenter. We know where he's from. He shouldn't be coming from Galilee. We know very well. But Jesus said, I know the truth, and I come from God the Father. Will you trust me? And he says, if you will trust me, I will give you eternal life. Not just eternal life when we pass from this world to the next, but we will begin eternal life when we say yes to Jesus, I will trust you, and I will walk with you. You see, when we say to Jesus, I will trust you, then it makes all the difference in the world. It's that we don't go through the motions of going to church, of coming to church on special days just to make an impression, to please mom or dad, or Christmas, or anything like that, or just pray and go through the motions, but we say, we have entered into life eternal right now, so when we pray, we are talking to one who hears us. We're not just talking to the ceiling. We're not just praying in order to feel good or peaceful, but we are praying and we are singing and worshiping because we are singing and worshiping one who is alive. Amen. That's where life is lived beyond two dimensions. That's where we live real life as we enter into faith in God through Jesus Christ, that He sets us free. That He sets us free from sin and from death and from hell. And I'm just so thankful that God gives to us life through Jesus Christ. And many will say fully, I don't believe a word of it. Or church, that's just for whatever. Now that I'm transitioning from Newmarket to here, people know at my work. And they say, good for you, whatever floats your boat. Many knew that I was a minister anyway and know that I'm, coming to transition into pastoring this church and moving away from that career, and they're saying congratulations, and whatever floats your boat is my word. But it seems to be the sentiment. Good for you. I hope you're happy. I hope you're content. Best wishes, everything like that. But it really doesn't mean anything to them. But as we pray and worship and give our lives to Jesus, He shows us how to live a life, not just life right here, but life abundant and life in full. Sin is that thing that, in that action and word and thought and deed and motive in our life where we say, we will do it on our own. It doesn't matter what God's will is. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it on my own. But Jesus said, here is how to have eternal life. I am only doing His will, Jesus says, but if you will trust me, then I will show you eternal life. You don't have to live like Flat Stanley anymore. You can live abundant life, and that's what His promise and His call is to us. He will speak to us. He will instruct us and lead us. There is always more. You maybe have been walking in the way for 60 years or more. But His life keeps being renewed because He is the author of creation and the author of life. So if you would like to know more, you can say to the Lord, even where you're sitting, Lord, show me. I'm willing to trust you. I'm sorry for doing the things that hurt you, that are against your will. But I say yes to you. And I don't even know what that means. But there's something about that that is appealing. And I say yes to you. So if you would do that even where you're sitting, or there's many people around you that will be happy to pray with you, to help you to know more. But Jesus said, don't delay. Don't delay. Today is a good day to come to the Father through the Son. Let's sing in conclusion this morning, Come Holy Spirit, 250.